Something very weird happened when Mark Banks came in. Mark Banks, of course, a comedian, someone who's been making people in South Africa laugh for a very long time, over 25 years in a variety of shows around South Africa and abroad. From the moment he sat down, he started shtick, and he made us laugh. I just shut up and let him do his thing. For most of the interview, he was on a roll. He was talking about the Guptas. He was talking about flamingos. He was talking about bad adverts and so much more. Mark Banks has got to be one of our favorite interviews of the year and someone who's always a pleasure to spend time with. CliffCentral.com. Mark Banks has been in the comedy business for over 25 years. He claims that at the age of 11, he was able to balance an entire Zulu rondavel and its contents on his chin while singing I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. Mark writes and performs his own comedy shows and material. He is passionate about his comedy work. I think he's terrific. And everybody who's in comedy has so much respect for this man. So he's also been in huge trouble. He's one of the few comedians in South Africa who's had like a fatwa issued against him, basically a death threat. And the man has not shied away from controversy. He often says things in support of freedom of speech that aren't necessarily even comedic, but he does them in a funny way. And I'm very happy to have him with us this morning. Mark Banks is, of course, also well-known and recognized in his political satire, and he likes to poke fun at everybody, which is part of the reason we love him to pieces. He's on his way in now. He's got some new shows that he wants to tell us about, and we'll find out all about those, and where he's been and what he's up to. Bring him in, Lucas. What do we need?
Do you know what I love? Is that he calls this comedy that's just common sense, his new show called Banksrupt. Quite cool.
Banksrupt. That's the new show. Sorry, I was trying to find the name of it just now.
Yeah.
Banksrupt.
It's quite so he's apt on his now. Way.
Yeah. It takes a side-splitting look at the bankruptcy of South Africa, not just from a financial aspect, but also our moral bankruptcy, our political bankruptcy, international and psychological and social bankruptcy. So here he is. Look at you.
Exactly what we
How
need
are
on
you?
A Friday.
What Hello. A pleasure to see you. How are you, Mark?
Hello. Now, the reason I've called this meeting...
Oh.
Hey.
How are you, man?
I'm all right. I've got all my xenophobia out of my system, my xenophobia, my sexualities, my sizes. When you drive in Joburg morning traffic and you start building up your file on the car in front that doesn't go on the green robot, that can't get round corners.
Isn't it amazing?
There's no traffic coming, they can't go around the corner.
But we do that. We build up a file on the person in front of me. We hate them and you don't even know who they are and then you can't wait to see them as you drive past them. You're like,
yes.
Oh, I knew she'd look like that.
Yes. No, but I go, you great big fat stupid Blair Gowrie housewife. I build up all that, and then as I drive past them, it's actually a young Jewish boy from Highlands North, and I've got to change all my hate. I've got to get it from old woman Blair Gowrie hate to anti-Semitic young Jewish boy, you awful Middle Eastern Israeli. Then you realize it's not a Jewish boy. He's actually got reflective tint on the window. I'm actually looking at myself.
Oh.
Then I realize I haven't left home yet. I'm still in the driveway. I'm actually looking at myself. Then I realize I don't have a car. I'm still at home. I'm actually shaving. It's too frightening.
Mark Banks, everybody. He's here. He's live. Listen.
Thoughts go through my head when I'm on my own, because you can scream and shout and do whatever you want. It's your own booth, isn't it?
You live in Cape Town.
No, I live here. I live in Johannesburg. I live in Parktown West.
Why did I think you lived in Cape Town?
I grew up in Cape Town.
Okay.
I tell people who are looking for me here that I live in Cape Town.
Now listen.
Just so I'm novel.
But there was a time not so long ago where you actually had to be careful, and you don't need the headphones.
I do. No, I do.
Do you?
Yes, because I sneak them into my bag when no one's looking.
This is all just a coy headphone.
It doesn't matter if they work or not, but I actually use them as blindfolds. If you put them over your eyes like that.
Yeah, you look like the guy from X-Men.
Yes, it helps, and it also helps when you're driving.
Now listen.
I've lived in Joburg for 35 years, on and off. I have a place in the Cape I go to when I'm not in Joburg, because I don't do Joburg very well.
Everybody in comedy that I've spoken to, and I've
there are so many people in comedy. This could be a nation you're talking
it's
about.
It's a
now.
Lot of people.
A lot of people.
They all have a lot of time for you and a lot of respect for you.
Good
I don't know
grief.
What you've
really,
done.
Really, Gareth?
Yeah, I don't know
Thank
what you've
you.
Done to deserve that. They're all
Thank
very.
You. Thank you. I do terrible things to them if they say or do terrible things. So they're probably scared of that. I can't tell you how I've vandalized John Blismus' house over the years, what I've done to their cars, their pets. Really, all I need is a cell phone number or an ID number, and the rest you can leave to me. Even if you have enemies on the station, Gareth, which I know you do, all the mergings and hergings that go on in the world of radio,
yeah.
just give me a phone number.
You'll sort them out.
Oh, I can't tell you what I did to Stan Katz over the years. It's too frightening. I saw him the other day in that nursery down in Jan Smuts Avenue. He almost fell into the brambles when he saw me. In fact, I got a fright when I saw him because I didn't know he was still in radio.
Well, yeah. Is he?
I don't know.
I don't think
he is. Couldn't answer.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. You didn't give him a chance.
In fact, I think he was working at the nursery, actually, and he was too sort of... He didn't want to ask, have you put your bulbs in yet?
Listen, when you,
I said, it's not Christmas.
When you put a new show together, like Banksrupt...
Yes.
Is it hard to find material?
Oh, my goodness, no, not at all. Oh. Not at all. In fact, we soon won't need comedians. You'll just have to buy a newspaper, if they're still legal. If Iqbal Serval and the Guptas haven't bought everything out completely. They even tried to buy my dogs this morning. They bought my garden gates. They've gone. I've had house capture because I live just near them.
Did they at least make you a good offer?
The Guptas.
No, they just come and take it. They just come
You've
and take
house
it.
House capture.
Yes. My gates they've taken, my warning sign. They even took my number because I'm 37 and their one house they've got in Englewald Drive is 37, so that must... It could only have been then.
So they took your numbers in case they lose theirs.
Yes,
they've got a backup number.
I'm glad they took my... I've got some very, very noisy hardy-dar and lurries in the garden. Very, they're gone, the lot, gone.
Oh. Did they actually come in, the Guptas themselves, AJ and
the Utul? Mother. The mother did.
What's
the mother. Because I was at the zoo the other day. Have you seen the upgrades the zoo has had, Joburg Zoo?
How so?
But no, the upgrade and the parking.
No.
Oh, no, it's fantastic what they've done at Joburg Zoo.
I haven't been to the zoo for ages.
Because I do a lot of rescue work there. I'm with an organization called Friends of the Flamingo.
Yeah.
FOTF. And especially now that winter's here, we have to bring the flamingos in at night. Otherwise, the legs freeze. The legs freeze. No, please. No, this isn't funny. The legs freeze, and if they try to move, suddenly... The legs shatter. And then the flamingo spends the rest of its life dragging itself around by its beak. It's terrifying. It really, really is. And the only thing that it can do is like a two-foot pink sort of... It's just too frightening. It terrifies the pensioners on pensioner days. But I do a lot of work with Friends of the Flamingo. FOTF. We'll be giving the number later. And the other day, I went to the new extensions of the zoo, and I saw this one cage. And yeah. Inside, the strangest-looking animals I've ever seen ever in my life. I couldn't believe it. They were like, you know when you look in the cage, you don't quite know whether it's a bird, a one-legged Central American llama, luma llama. You don't know what it is.
And what was it? Did it have a sign?
It was one of the Guptas' bedrooms that backs onto... the zoo, and I was actually looking through the bedroom window of Vashnal Gupta. That's the one you
I haven't met. Is it a he or a she, Vashnal?
I don't know. They still don't know themselves.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, when he was born, the midwife delivering him slapped everyone in the maternity ward and everyone outside in reception and people arriving coming through the boom into the delivery hostel.
If all got slapped. If you live in that neighborhood, there are obviously security concerns. Do you ever end up in roadblocks or
all
you
the
have
time.
Military vehicles
all
near
the time.
You?
The Imperial War Museum is used as the Ishkong Gangdum Bandal Hindu.
The what now?
The Imperial War Museum immediately after. They captured that for their festival of the Handal Bindal Bundal. And the Gujarati Society said, have nothing to do with them. They dumped them. When the Gujarati Society dump you, that's like being asked to leave a Mr. Price sale. I mean, you can't go worse than that. When you're dumped, it's like being dissed by a hubcap thief. You know what I mean? It's sort of, it's too frightening for words. There's apparently about seven of them. Only three you ever see, because that's the only ones that the photographer can bring to photograph. They sound like the hemorrhoidal seven dwarfs, actually. There's Vinjal, Hanjal, Rectal, Hashtal, Itchy, Doc, Bashful, and Fen Vlash Gungli. He's the one who owns all the uranium mines. They're now going to fuel the nuclear power plants. The other one does the coal. The other one does aluminium. Yes. One steals numbers from houses in the Saxemord area. And the other one they use, he does hauntings. Vajnachnar Gupta. That's the really, really... That even terrifies llamas at the zoo. They had to move the llama cage because the llamas were just in fright from having seen him. Apparently, he accidentally catapulted himself out of the bedroom window, putting on some very thick, elastic, gusseted underpants. He missed his footing. Does that ever happen to you, Gareth? When you're putting on your Calvin clothes, those thick, Calvin Klein knickers you wear, those thick, with that thick elastic.
Thick gusseted.
As you're putting them on, if you miss your footing and you get caught in that elastic... I've done it. I catapulted.
It hits you in the balls.
No, it doesn't happen to me. I catapulted myself out of a City Lodge hotel room window once in Port Elizabeth. And it was frightening. I ended up down in the Red Windmill Roadhouse. Thank goodness I managed to get them up sort of round me, round me nether regions before that happened. But it's lovely to be on the show. Thank you.
Well, you know.
I just want to be friends with Itchy and Rectal Gupta now.
Well, no one is. Nobody is. Only Dudu, Mudu, Hodugudu, and Lingo Gugu Logo Zuma are friends. And then there's the other offshore Zoomers. Hada Wodo Zuma and Eddie Zuma. Idi Wodo Zuma,
yes.
Nandalubo Zuma. There's 26 of them. I've got the cast list here. Of Zoomers.
What a hell of a story. I mean,
it is.
And it's getting more exciting every day. There's new investigations. There are new people involved.
Yes.
There's lots of people with hands in the till.
Yes. If the till is still there. I think the till has been stolen, actually. I think the till has gone to Dubai. It went in that heist of the aeroplane.
Remember that?
No one else seems to remember it.
No, people have forgotten that there was that huge pile of money.
Yes.
They filled a plane with banknotes.
Mm. Yes. And top-end luxury goods. That was probably Grandma Gupta.
She's also
she's still in the family business.
Yeah, she only weighs 77 kilograms, but apparently when she leaves the country, she weighs 1,298 kilograms.
Oh,
yeah, and that's just her knickers. That's just her knickers and her under. What are those things called? Step-ins. Is it a step-in?
Yes.
Step-ins.
Oh my God!
Do you remember step-ins?
No, I don't.
Apparently, hers are made by Danelle. They're made by Danelle. So I don't know what she's carrying in her knickers. Are we going out live now? Or is this just... are we going out?
This is so fantastic.
Oh, no.
No, keep going. Don't stop.
Oh, I thought you were still going to read the news.
No,
don't you have news? Well, it's all rubbish.
We have news, but it's
all
so
rubbish. It's all made up rubbish. You don't hear the truth.
They say they might get rid of President Zuma at the NEC this weekend.
Huh? Never, ever, ever. Never, never, ever, ever. No, who's going to? Who? Bileko Mbete.
And that the president is done very well. Yeah.
And then suddenly Cyril and all those other ones that were all flung out.
I mean,
oh, please, does anyone care? I mean, what is... I mean, really, it's just too ridiculous.
Who you think Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma is the next president?
Well, that is the plan. That's what they're lining up. Batabili Dlamini is family of Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. Yes. Bantu Holomisa, who doesn't return my calls, and I keep getting voicemail. Well, it's not really his voicemail. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's just
the number you dialed is not available.
No, it goes, oh, I think there's a slaughtering going on the other side of something. I don't know what it is.
So Bantu Holomisa, you're trying to call him?
Yes, I'm trying to call him because he told Newsweek. Newsweek had an article last month, and he says that she, Batabili Dlamini, is Nkosazana Dlamini's sister. Blood sister. Sister, sister, sister.
Really?
Yes.
That's
way
too
And everyone
too
said,
close.
No, this is a very African thing. Can I say African thing?
Yeah, of course.
Still politically correct.
No, is it still politically correct?
You don't have to be politically correct.
Apparently, Kakiso Ludika told me, I can say Bantu. That's not racist.
Bantu
is not racist. It means a person.
People. Yeah.
People.
Bantu, yeah.
But I think the connotations of it from the past, it does have, when you think Bantu education,
but you don't say
Bantu
to someone,
administration.
It's nice to meet you, Bantu. That would be wrong.
Well, I say that to Bantu
Holomisa.
I say that to Dr. Kumalo, even though he's not a doctor.
You don't say, for example, that the thing you must not do is point to a black person and then go, I think that Bantu over there can help you. That's not on. That's not a lie.
Well, if it was Bantu Holomisa, and there was another Bantu, if there's Bantu Dlamini and Bantu Holomisa, then he could say, I'm sorry you got the wrong Bantu. And then if it takes a long time, it becomes Bantu Hour, and then Kgisa Lediga does...
Hosts it.
Host the show, yeah. Bantu Hour.
Yes, Bantu Hour.
It's a good show. It was a good show.
It is a good show. No, yeah. It is, and it's coming back. It's coming back, and it's better. There's a new season coming back.
Good.
I mentioned earlier that all these other comics love you because they speak of you...
I'm pleased you told me that, Gareth, because I was having my doubts.
No, they do. They like you. And
thank you.
Everyone has a lot of respect for you, I think, because you've also... put your money where your mouth is some of the time, and you've stood up in the funniest way possible for free speech. It's
ish.
A big well you have.
Ish. I mean, it sounds very noble.
Didn't you have a
really.
Fatwa?
No, come on. But wherever you go, if you do comedy anywhere, you're going to get people in the audience who get upset. And it happens all the time. I even have comedians who get upset with
really?
Me.
Really?
Oh, my.
When was the last time a comedian got upset with you?
It's never happened. I'm just saying that in case John Blismus is listening. But it's amazing now. Everyone is so politically sensitive, so sexually sensitive. Didn't you have a run? Didn't you have a thing on the program now where somebody said something terrible about a fat Blegari housewife?
Yes, there was a person.
Or was that me this morning?
No, it was someone else. They were here earlier. Yeah.
Were they here? Did they have it?
And we had a fat Blegari housewife earlier here.
Who
as
can't get round corners because she's busy talking on her phone, smoking, and the other thing which I cannot understand: a hot steaming cup of coffee. So she's got her phone, a hot steaming cup of coffee, and smoking. The windows are steamed up. She can't see out the window. It's got a thing on the back of some place that closed down years and years ago. Some fish restaurant. That awful fish. What was it? Dishy Fishy? Was Fishy? Is it Dishy Fishy?
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful. I think the last one that was
you've been traumatised by this.
Well, I was. I went there. The catch of the day was hepatitis. Just before it closed. It was in the Randburg waterfront, which became a field, and then it became a common, and then they just closed it down. It became
Let's steer this in a direction, because I
Steers is still going. Steers is still there, very, very big. It's run by Greeks, which is good.
You said just now people are very sensitive. That everything is offensive these days.
Yes, people go out now to be offended. People, you have to be so politically correct, it's frightening.
So as a comic, does this limit what you're able to say?
It does limit. Even people would normally laugh at it, say, well, look, I'm not religious, but I think that was terrible what you said about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like they're standing up for other people in case those people are offended.
They stand up for other people. Yes, that's right. They
isn't that ridiculous? You're not allowed to be offended on someone else's behalf.
Do you know, even at Friends of the Flamingo, there are people who...
Fotf.
There are people who say some of those flamingos are too pink. They're getting fed too much because they're only pink from eating prawn.
Yes, from eating some kind of shellfish,
crustacea.
Yeah.
No, really. It's true. And star toffees, which we still get, those pink star toffees, and sparkle boiled sweets, and old feather boas, old ball gowns from the Janie Allen collection and Style magazine.
Ball gowns.
Yes. And we pulp the Citizen. The Citizen gets pulped, and when it's pulped down with the red heading that it's got, it turns
pink. Yeah.
It makes the flamingos pink. But sometimes if they eat too much of the headline, some of the flamingos go deep red, and that's quite frightening when you see that dragging itself along the ground.
I had no idea that Fotf was so busy with all of this.
Mm. Oh, you've no idea. We're going into Africa. We are very, very big in...
How regularly do you meet?
Tanzania. Now that winter's coming, because we've got to train the flamingos to come in at night... that's the come in.
That's the call.
That's okay. The call to come in flamingo. Yeah. It takes many, many years to learn that because
I couldn't make that sound. Like,
that's the Xhosa flamingos.
Vernac, yeah.
Yes, well, vernac. In Xhosa, everything you say five words meaning the same in the same sentence. So that's why Gwedi Mantash makes absolutely no sense. That's how we call the polar bears in. We get a recording of him calling the polar bears in. Because they also get the cold. You don't think of the polar bears getting cold, but they've been through a Johannesburg summer. They have to be reintroduced into the cold. So we have a recording of Gwedi Mantash doing his speech of there's nothing wrong in the ANC and we'll all back each other up. In Polar Bear is come in now, it's getting colder. That's the executive. And then the polar bear comes into the zoo. Wow. It's quite incredible. It's
You're
all
very
just
involved
words.
At, very
it's just
involved
words.
At the zoo.
Well, that's the only way. You can't have you're not allowed to keep flamingos domestically. It's illegal. because of the height of doors and window frames. They do pose a terrible hazard. And the worst thing, of course, ceiling fans.
Because they chop off the heads.
They chop off the heads. I didn't want to say that in case there are any sensitive listeners listening and should hear the demise of flamingos.
Everyone's a sensitive listener, you said so yourself.
Everyone's a very sensitive listener. And a very politically correct listener.
What's annoying you at the moment? What's making you angry?
People who drive very slowly in the fast lane.
Okay.
People who click big pens.
You don't like that?
Oh, no, I can't stand it.
Is that the biggest problem, you think, stationary-wise in the world?
No, stationary-wise is Walton's, who summons me for 1,474 Rand, when in fact I owe them much, much more.
What did you do to Walton's?
Oh, it's a long story. And I bought a chair. And people who pop bubble wrap. People who pop bubble wrap. There we go. Yes.
I love popping
bubbles. Do you do it?
I do. It's my therapy.
If you were in charge of the world, would you have her arrested for popping bubbles?
No, I'd send her to the bubble wrap farm where she has to listen to thousands of other, we call them bubbists. They're called bubbists.
Do you think you have a mental illness that the clicking of the big pen and the bubble wrap popping is driving you crazy?
It's a signal. It's a very destructive signal that it sends out. It's the frequency of, it's 101.7, which is Alec J's frequency of his speaking voice. But probably not as irritating. It's that click. It's
a very
if I'm driving and I hear a click or a dunk 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 dunk, and that's not in the car. That's actually someone outside the car tapping on the window, to try and sell me pumice stone or an inflatable dolphin.
Have you ever bought anything from these guys?
All the time. I support them as much as I can. I had a terrible accident the other night because I bought sugarcane on William Nicol. They sell sugarcane now. They have 11 foot sticks of sugarcane, which I put in the back of the car and didn't realize that it protruded about 3 foot either side of the car. Hatched about 19 cars out getting to Monte Cassino.
Oh, wow.
I know, but it was at least I'd supported the sugarcane man.
At least.
And it was terrible sugarcane. Terrible. Terrible. I'm actually going to sell it to Woolworths so they'll be able to put one of their ready-to-eat stickers on it.
And that's just
ready-to-eat.
Like they do. Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey? On those Woolworths, rock hard, solid, those solid green avocado pears, it's like Malawian malachite. Rock hard, solid.
You bite into it and you lose your teeth.
You lose your teeth, Gareth. Again.
Ripe and ready.
And on it. Does it say ready to eat?
The avocados, it says ripe and ready. Yeah.
Ripe and ready. Yeah. Well, it's not ripe and ready. The pear I've got, I don't think I'm going to live that long to actually be able to eat them. I'd like to find the man, and thinks the man who did that, sit him down and say, right, here's an avo. Here we are. We got this in one of your stores. Please eat this. Ripe and ready. Because when you finish that, I want you to start on the banana. Which I think come from barley.
Yeah.
Those wooden, rock-hard, solid. Can I say this about Woolworths?
Anything you want.
Rock-hard, solid bananas. My grandmother, the last 11 years of her life, she was waiting for her Woolworths banana to ripen. Sadly, we had to bury her with a rock-hard banana at the funeral.
Oh, dear.
It's probably okay now.
Well, it is. We threw it down with her last blanket that she slept in and a few of her favorite books.
Do you think, speaking of your grandmother, I mean, yes. Do you think I went and spent a bit of time yesterday at an old age home, believe it or not? It's not because I'm charitable or nice. There was this woman who sent this very sweet message on Facebook.
Don't fall for their hype. Don't fall for their hype. They get
she
you
told
in.
Me, listen, she told me, talk about hype. She said she's been propositioned by 3 Nigerian guys on Facebook.
Yes.
All they need is 100 Rand. Mm.
Yes.
They just need 100 Rand to get to her at the old age home.
Yes.
And then they'll marry her.
No.
And they'll be with her forever. And they're very handsome. She's a very handsome, comely-looking men.
Yes.
And she would desperately like to meet them, but she's a little bit worried that they're going to take the 100 Rand and gap it. What do you think?
How was contact made between
her
and these? Well, there we go.
Social media.
No, that's too frightening, isn't it? It's probably some crack
should
lord.
She send the 500 or 100 or 1,000 or whatever they want?
Do you know what? Yes, she should. My advice is yes.
Why not?
Yes.
Why not?
Not all Nigerians are bad. Some just want to go and bang old ladies for 100 Rand. Please. No, it's probably some crack lord with an illegal brothel in Bruma, where there's a big one, 6 Castle Street. That's a huge brothel there. The crack house is just next door at number 9.
Castle Street.
And the number, I have Muhammad's number, 072-615-4823.
Okay.
Muhammad. So what did they offer there? I mean, is it?
Well, I don't know. I haven't been to their shop. I think they do antiques because he keeps phoning saying I'm a dealer. You must come and see. I've got some good stuff. Mm. And I'm looking for a 1950s jukebox. I might go around later. I'm going to take the old lady round.
That's a good. I should take her.
She can go trawling there. She can actually look through the shop window and see what she wants.
See the wares.
Yeah. I cannot believe that people get those things. What's it called? The 514?
419 scams.
419. The 419. That is all still going on, and people still,
you know, and it's old people, and they're lonely, and they don't have a lot going on in their lives, and these people come out and they say, well, if you just give me this, I'll give you that. Or the one guy that she told me about yesterday, she said there was he's just been serving in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah.
And they don't pay them in money.
Right.
Because they pay them in jewelry.
Right. Yes.
I'm not kidding. And he would like very much to give her the jewelry.
Right.
And she can give him some cash, and then he'll pay her back and give her the jewelry as a present. Doesn't that sound great?
Yep, fantastic.
It's a good deal.
I think I have his number, actually. I've been contacted by someone very similar.
Yeah?
There was a thing on, and I saw it.
Was he a real estate agent?
Purely by chance. No, not him. I'm Pam.
Was it?
I'm Pam.
How great is the Pam ad?
Isn't she looking lovely, Pam?
Well, the first
She's 147. Can you believe it?
Wow.
147. She sold the first tent in Johannesburg in Ferreira. In Ferreiradorp. Was sold by Pam. Pam Goa. I'm Pam.
Still going strong.
Who's taking her picture? Who does her photograph? I can't believe that. No. It can't be. Doesn't she look at her photographs? Doesn't she look what she looks like?
Well, I mean,
she looks like Gollum's dog. I mean, it's just too frightening for words.
You can't help the way you look.
Yes, you can help the way you look. And if you can't help the way you look, you must stay indoors. And if it gets worse, don't be photographed. Don't scare prospective buyers. In fact, all those Pam Golding women, they all look a bit stuck up, don't they? They're sort of, yes, we're selling houses. It's sort of like real.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Do they look like they judge you before they judge the house?
Yes, they're like really sort of.
I mean, you think you can afford this house?
At least the thief will. I don't understand the South African thing of where estate agents put a picture of their face in the ad to sell a house. I don't know how that works.
Why does that happen?
I do not know. I cannot understand it. What happens? You look at the face and oh, yes, let's buy this flat. She looks lovely. And you don't see a picture of the flat or the house. Sometimes it's just a picture
of the estate agent.
And like really sort of fat, ugly sort of. There's one I see on a lamppost. You can see it's a crook.
Oh. You what can give that away?
No, he just looks. Oh. You know what crooks look like.
Crook.
You can see it's a crook.
The Guptas should go into
and this. Well, yes, but they're not selling houses. They're selling countries. They're selling uranium mines. They're selling nuclear power stations. Go big. They're not selling samosas and plastic coat hangers in 9 different colors. They're selling countries. They're selling presidents. They're selling Nkosi Zana Dlamini Zuma by the ounce. You know, can you imagine how many years that's going to take them? Bantu Holomisa in Newsweek said that Butterbili Dlamini is Nkosi Zana Dlamini's sister.
Yes, we're back.
When I phoned Newsweek, and they said, yes, he has said that. And because it's an African thing, which I was saying, if it's a cousin, you say they are sisters.
Yes.
Yeah. If it's a distant uncle, if it's a distant great aunt, you can say they are sisters. He says, no, they are sisters.
Siblings.
Sisters.
That's what he means.
Yeah. And the three words that Martin Veltz said in Newsweek, because he's the editor, when he concentrates, said that he has proof, Bantu Holomisa has proof that Butterbili Dlamini is Nkosi Zana Dlamini's sister.
I saw her in the news the other day, and I made a comment, and it, some people thought it was offensive, but it was an observation.
Yes.
Butterbili Dlamini.
Yes.
Big tits.
Right. Don't know about that. I've never been that close.
You don't have to be. Just look at pictures. I'll find your picture now.
No.
Enormous. Enormous.
So what happens when
what do you think the proof is?
I don't know. I actually don't know. But it explains a lot. Because I was always thinking, you know, sometimes when you think, now hang on, why are they there doing that?
Yeah.
How did he get that job at that radio station?
Yes.
And you find out, no. His mother ran a kennel society, and then they had Bouviers that, oh my goodness gracious me. Good grief. They
just saw a picture of Butterbili.
So then when you think, how did that person get there? How did that happen?
Yes, well, now you know.
Well, then you know. So then everything fell into place when...
It's like when Louis Late used to have his whole family working in rugby.
At the zoo. A lot of them were in the zoo. A lot of them were caged animals. In fact, he was conceived, I think, through prison bars, wasn't he? That cleft, that dimple on his chin, wasn't it where he was conceived through the prison bars by his father having a contact visit with the mother, wasn't it?
Why is this Batabile Dlamini and Kwasasana Dlamini Zuma thing bothering you so much?
No, it's not bothering me.
Just nepotism?
Nepotism gets bigger and bigger. It's just... I mean, this morning they were reading out the figures of who in the Zuma family owns and works at companies and parastatals and Telkom. Apparently, one daughter ran Telkom. She was nine. She was nine years old.
Oh,
and
goodness.
She ran
a gifted child.
She ran a gifted child.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the head of Eskom didn't know that his stepdaughter had signed a billion rand contract, which he didn't know. She had a billion. Ran contract in her bedroom, you know, underneath the Cabello poster next to AKA and Casper. Yes, I have one. You know, it's like Elvis in the last days. Nobody knew Elvis was doing drugs. Can you believe that?
Ridiculous.
He weighed 495 kilograms. He was wearing Lycra skin-tight jumpsuits. What did they think he was, a bad shopper? I mean, no. Well, there's an NEC meeting today, and then there's the meeting after the meeting. And it's at that funny place in Pretoria, St. George's Hotel.
Yes, what a strange place. You drive past it on the way to the airport sometimes.
It's like it was a gift from the aliens, isn't it?
They've got the driveway.
Yes, it's all monumental. It's all shattered monumental tombstone.
Marble, yeah.
Well, no, it's not marble. It's monumental tombstone grave things that got broken or smashed. Or return because they'd spelt God wrong, so they smashed them up and then they used that.
You drive on that stuff on the way in. I was mesmerized the first time I went there.
Very, very strange.
So they're having the big NEC meeting there, huh?
Yeah, they're having a very big NEC meeting there.
Might get rid of him.
No, I don't think so. No, he's not going. Do you think he's going?
What do you think? What do you think the environment though is generally for strongmen? Because we've got Vladimir Putin, who's very powerful. We've got Donald Trump.
Radovan Krejcik.
Sorry.
Radovan Krejcik.
Is he in the ranks?
Yes.
Radovan.
He's in and out of court still, isn't he?
Yes. Like,
Yeah.
Oh, he's in there. He's in there. In fact, he's in the away race today at Clarewood, 7-3, ridden by Terence Mullard. Flashing wonder.
What do you think of all of this that's going on in the world? Because it seems to me
it's
that there's
just
frightening, isn't it? There's this tendency towards the village idiot becoming the boss.
Yeah, it can happen now. And you know who we can blame for this? Television. The whole thing of Trump becoming president of America was just a bigger version of The Apprentice. That's all it was. All the things that he did in The Apprentice, all the things that he'd learned on television, because he's had years and years and years
of
knocking around. Yeah. 25, 30 years, which everyone seems to have forgotten about. So he knows exactly how to play the media, how to play television, how ratings work, what to wear, how to be lit. Apparently, Danelle do the hair. Part of the hair for Trump is done by Danelle, and it's done by some weavers, not roof weavers, weaver birds. They nest.
It's almost like a helmet.
Yeah, it is. It's a weaver bird nest that is then put over his head and then sprayed that color, made by weavers. Because last year I did a lot of work with weaver birds.
I was still with FOTF,
but that was at the zoo. Weavers, you are allowed to keep domestically in your garden. They were getting very, very
what
fat.
What work were you doing with them, pray tell?
Well, I was trying to get their diets right. They were eating far, far too much because they were being fed so much by people in suburban gardens, weaver birds. They couldn't get into their nests, and when they did, they were so fat, they were so big, the nests would just fall out of the trees. We actually started an organization called Nest Care 911.
Right.
Where if you what was on my cornflakes?
Nest if Care you had
very big weavers, if you phoned Nest Care 911, we would catch... No, please. Don't you laugh. Don't know it's the plight. Serious. You don't know the plight of.
Okay, no.
And then we would rehabilitate them and get them on the right diet plan at the Fat Weaver. It was called the Fat Weaver Farm. And funny enough, we weren't allowed to call it that because Mike Weaver, the boxing the boxing federation, we'd transgress copyright because we used the word Weaver.
Do you think there's room in the market in Weavers for someone to sell them bigger nests? Maybe Pam.
Yes. Pam Golding would sell you a Weaver bird nest. Pam Golding would sell a Weaver bird nest as a comfy loft, two-bedroom department.
Now, do you like the other people who are famous in advertising at the moment? They put themselves in the ads.
Lucy Hirsch.
Lucy Hirsch.
She has to win the Academy Award for advertising.
How do you think that happened? Do you think they sat in a family meeting and they said, well, it's got to be you, Lucy?
Throughout the years that I can remember, and it's most of them, there's always been someone on radio with a terrible voice who can't speak, who has no inflection, who you can hear is an absolute...
like an impediment. There's almost a...
It used to be years ago, there used to be someone called Ronnie Bass. I don't know if the company's still going, hi, I'm Ronnie Bass from Ronnie Bass Sigma. Do you need a car? Aren't you tired of walking? Well, come to Ronnie Bass and I will sell you a car. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And then, do you remember those campaigns?
Oh, God. No, but I remember the first one was Clive Wheel.
Oh, my goodness.
From Checkers. Clive Wheel,
trolley for trolley. He went on television.
Yes, he was great.
He went on television.
He was on TV.
Yes.
And he was the first Checkers guy. And he would go trolley for trolley. We have more deals and great prizes and... Our aisles are not crowded.
Yes, and Checkers was on the slump because our friend Raymond,
Ackerman.
No one's ever heard anything he ever said, ever. They think they understand him.
Yes.
When Raymond's been, well, what we drink, the whatever, the, and, the, and then, housewife, the, and, the, in the, and, that's Raymond. Thank you very much, Raymond. We must get you a chat show.
That's why you needed Isabel Jones to sell products.
Shame.
Jones.
God rest her soul, yeah. Isabel Jones. We miss her, don't we?
So, as I was saying, no, because she sold out. She was bought out. She was state captured by ABSA.
Yeah.
They came along, bought her, and anyone that she exposed.
She used to be the woman who would look after consumers.
Yes.
And then she ended up selling us fucking Tupperwares.
Yes.
On a Saturday morning.
It was too fun. No, and then anyone that she sort of exposed, they went along and then they bought her, basically. And they said, we're so glad that you did this whole thing on Volkswagen, but here's R1 million for you to carry on doing the program for us. Yeah. Oh, yes. No, I will. Yes, I'll go and look at those awful Toyota people. Yes, these Toyota cars are terrible. And I thought... No, you can't do that. No, that's terrible. I think it's called prostitution, isn't it? Then Checkers was on a downhill parabola, and they said, "What should we do? We need ad campaigns. We've got to get this. We've got to get that." And then, just suddenly, out of the blue, we turned on the tape. There was Clive Wheel. This huge, fat, sort of huge. It looked like a joke. It looked like one of those inflatable men you see outside Rosebank Mall on a Saturday morning that they dance with. And he went. At 20 for 20 and Checkers, you can buy real bargains. It was ridiculous, wasn't it? It was
a hugely
successful ad campaign.
Sure. And
it was very, very successful. Then OK Bazaars came out. Do you remember when OK Bazaars had them? I think it was...
No, I don't remember that
Robin
one.
Hood or Gavin Hood.
Gavin
Hood's father, whatever his name was.
Yeah, the guy who did Tootsie.
Tootsie, his father.
Dad, yeah.
It was his dad.
But then Lucy is just the latest incarnation of this trend.
Well,
it works.
Well, there's a comedian who's very funny. I saw her yesterday at a car accident.
at a car accident?
Yes, car accident. I'd actually driven into her.
She's very funny, but you drove.
She is very funny. And her name is Anne Hirsch.
Anne Hirsch, yes.
And she'd approached the Hirsch family years ago and said, can't I... do like a send-up Hirsch thing. I'm the daughter that nobody speaks to. Blah, 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 blah.
They didn't
blah.
Like
because her name is Anne Hirsch,
yeah,
and the company's
yeah.
Hirsch. And I thought, oh, so when I've been listening to these ads, I thought, oh, fantastic. Anne Hirsch finally got the thing to do the campaign. And I said to her, that's fantastic what you do on those Hirsch ads. I am on the floor. She said, no, they bombed it. I haven't done it. Why? What's happening?
That's the actual Lucy, yeah.
It is the actual Lucy. And we do listen to it, and we're talking about it.
That's
Hirsch
right.
has been plugged 11 times in the past 5.5 minutes. No other furniture store.
Ring.
Or appliance store. I haven't said Dion's.
No.
Gain. Bradlow's. Joshua Door. Not one.
No.
And Hirsch.
Who even knows what Joshua Door looks like? Who knows?
No, we know exactly what he looks like. They did discover it was, in fact, F.W. de Klerk.
That was our uncle.
Yeah.
In the
and it was
business.
Subliminal advertising for the National Party.
Thank you very much for coming to buy Bradlow's furniture this
week. We are not selling couches. We are not selling refrigerators. We are not putting rooms apart from other rooms. We are one organization.
You've got an uncle in the National Party. F.W. Yeah, and it was... So then to do a subliminal F.W., they launched Joshua Door. They'd sell you stuff and then repossess it as you got it home. Which they can't do now under the Credit Act. You buy a lounge suite for $5,700, and once they put all the charges, the heffungs and the tax and yes. the thing, the R5,500 lounge suite was, in fact, R42,600. After you'd paid $22,000, they would come and repossess it, the R5,500 lounge suite, and then sue you for the balance of $23,100. So you'd actually paid 47,000 for your 5,200 rand lounge suite. It's a bit like Burial Society. I mean,
yeah, that's a lot of that funeral parlour stuff that goes.
Oh
on,
my
right?
goodness, it's just disgusting what they charge and what people get and people
you can't
pay.
Even, you're dead. You don't even enjoy it.
Oh no, I will enjoy being dead.
No,
I will. I really, really will. I was looking at my gravesite the other day.
Oh,
where have you chosen one?
Well, no, the other night it was on stage at Hooters. Comedians during their lifetime have about 106 grave sites. Sometimes you live to walk away from it.
100? That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It is if you work a lot. On average, it's like 1 in 20 you die. You just absolutely die, especially if you're a corporate whore like I am.
Oh.
So because I do quite a lot of corporate stuff. Like I do MCing. Can
yes.
I say MCing?
Of course,
you can say whatever you want.
Well, who are your favorite clients? Are the accounting firms, the lawyers, the retail?
Oh, everyone. I have good ones and bad ones in them all, and I don't ever talk about who I've worked for to anyone because it's very private. Probably because I've never done a corporate. Yeah, no. I can do a thing for like breweries where I can do 5 gigs in say 3 months, and it's not even the same people from
really because they're such huge.
They're so company. Huge, and they have sometimes it's just staff and personnel, sometimes it's tavern owners, sometimes it's the 10-star hotels from all around Africa that the breweries have shares in. Because
wow.
you know breweries
yeah,
are too.
They own lots of things.
They own everything. In fact, aren't they part of AmDev? They own running shoes, awnings.
Aren't the Guptas looking to capture them as well?
The Guptas have them. The Guptas use them to do their garden. Whenever, in fact, I think the Guptas bought them accidentally one day. While they were taking all the Zoomers to the Middle East to show them their new multi-billion rand homes that they have in the Palms that they bought them. So they can stop for a shower when they're on transit to go to Russia to go and see Putin to get some more nuclear power plant station powder. Because that's why Gordon went, was because of the nuclear power deal that he'd done with
yes,
Putin.
Yes, that's right.
Do you remember suddenly we woke up one day and he was in a graveyard in Russia?
Yeah.
And everyone said, what are you doing in Russia, Jacob?
Odd.
Do you remember all that?
I remember that.
He said, no, I had a few days off, so I just thought I'd come to Russia. And then Putin was sort of standing wearing a sort of a stretch tanga sort of thing, and vest. And no, we're all going to the seaside. We're going to the seaside. I'm going to take him to, well, obviously he didn't want to say Black Sea because he knew Jacob was there. So he said, I'm taking him to the beach. And they said, but hang on, that bucket and spade you've got there, that's not sand. That is pure uranium. What is it that you're showing Jacob? And he was like showing him a sort of a spoonful of uranium. And Jacob was like, oh, yes, no, I know exactly where I can get uranium from because I've got a family who gets coal for me because no one else in the whole of South Africa could get coal for Eskom. The only people who could do it was Vashtol, Bundel, Ringtal, Svungtal, Svinktal, Itchy, and Sniffy.
Yeah,
And
Sniffy as well.
Sniffy. I think the 8th Gupta is Doc. Bashful was the one who knocked through all the walls of the houses to make one big house in Sachsenwald. And then Putin, or Vlad, yes, Vlad as they call him.
Vlad the Impaler.
Who,
yeah.
I didn't know wears a tanga. I just discovered this now when you said earlier.
No, he wore, it was like trunks. Yeah, it was trunks. Trunks, and I think he may have had more information stuffed down the front of his trunks, or it could have been the comrade's baton that he was carrying for Bruce Fordyce, that Bruce used to have in his shorts when he used to carry the baton for the mayor of Pietermaritzburg, apparently. And then I got a fright when I realised it was in his back pocket that he pulled out the baton to give the mayor, our little Bruce. And he said, I need this white stuff, which we're going to play with on the beach. So, and Jacob said, yes. Now, I know exactly where I'm going to get that uranium from, because we've got all the coal done. So we've got the coal, we've got the uranium, we've got the contract. And
we
apparently that
blood.
Was, well, Tina Jamut Peterson, she was in the car finishing off the Kentucky. She had was finishing the last piece of Kentucky.
Tina
Jamut Peterson. And she said, no, Jacob, you must talk to those people, because I'm just finished, and I just want to eat my chicken. And she was eating a chicken, because she had fisheries and forestries, which she destroyed completely. We have two of the biggest oceans in the world. We're the country with the two of the biggest oceans in the world. And she destroyed the fishing industry.
We don't have any fish left.
We have no fish left. The Chinese have all taken it, so they can get it offshore, and they can actually fill the fish with alluvial diamonds that they've got from the West Coast. They actually put it into the fish and then send that back. Even the diamond industry has been sold out to Red China. They've got the diamonds.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
There are other things that I heard. You went to the Justin Bieber concert the other night. Is that true? Someone told me that you went.
No, I went to the other one when we were doing that roof repair, when we accidentally fell into the safe room, and I thought, oh my goodness, all this money lying around here, we can't leave all this money lying around, someone's going to take this.
It was from the concessions.
From the concessions and the merchandise, it was something like 3.4 million.
I mean, in cash that they took.
In cash.
But then we were all so busy watching Justin Bieber dance on the stage, none of us saw that they'd offed with the money.
It was the aircon people who put the aircon vents in, and the security company, Dabhan Security, 011-648-6162, and the person who was in charge of it was Clive Coldmore. He organized the whole heist.
Yes.
It was them, and I think relatives of Danny Yordan could be in there. I think FIFA may have been in, and FIFA don't like to see money lying around that they don't have.
Are
you not a little bit concerned about outing all the people you've outed?
No,
this
it's
morning?
All fact. Danny Yordan cannot leave Africa to go to Europe. He will be arrested at any airport that he lands at in Europe for embezzling and frauding, defrauding FIFA of tens of millions of rands, including the $10 million that went from here. Wait for this. How about this one? 10 million rand from here that Danny Yordan had sanctioned to upgrade football in Tobago. Do you remember that? Tobago and Jamaica. $10 million went through Sepp Blatter's SA Perm Bofrinic and Building Society account.
Yes, no, but put the money in once we want the stadium.
He had a building society.
Building a society. SA Perm. Well, it said SA Perm, but all the old Nazis, because Sepp Blatter was in the Hitler Youth Movement.
He was. Okay.
As were all young German boys in Germany in the late 30s, all in the Hitler Youth Movement. Well, a FIFA, Hitler Youth Movement, it's all more or less the same. Big stadiums, one man addressing crowds of hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Teams chasing teams, invading other countries. It's just, you know.
All similar.
It's all the same. Yeah. It's like a rat and a squirrel. What's the difference between a rat and a squirrel?
I don't know.
Marketing. If rats had big fluffy tails, every housewife in the country would have a rat squirrel on top of their fridge, wouldn't they? They'd love it. You see? The fluffy tail. People love that.
Oh, my God.
It's the difference between a snail and escargot. Someone came to you and said, would you like a plate of snails?
I would say no, thank you.
Don't you want the snail?
Yeah. But if you say anything in French, it sounds marvelous.
Escargot.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Have some of that.
They're even doing deep-fried cockroaches now.
No.
In France?
No, here it's called coq au rocher.
Coquerere Rocher.
People love it. People love it.
We do love to hop onto trends, though.
Well, it just sounds better, doesn't it?
How do you
like? Do you want a handful of cockroaches? Oh, I've just got a cockroach. No.
How do you like social media?
I'm a bit nervous of it because it's being hijacked by, you know, if it is the people who say they are the people on the other end of it, then it's fantastic. But it's when it gets hijacked. I've
You mean like fake people?
Like fake people. Yeah. I've had my Facebook thing invaded quite a few times. People have heard me and said, why did you send me this?
They pretended to be Mark Banks.
Yes.
Really?
That's been quite horrifying. I had a terrible...
Was it porn? Actually, what did they send?
Oh, just very, very, very rude letters. And a lot of people said, thank you so much for your letter the other day. So nice to hear from you. Then I read the letter and I thought, oh my goodness. And they said, yeah, usually your letters...
What did you say?
Usually your letters are worse.
What did you say in the letter that you didn't write?
Oh, no, it was terrible. I can't say it on air. I can't even say it at Cliff Central.
And these are friends of yours.
No, they weren't friends of mine who hacked me. No. People who don't not in South Africa. It was done in UK. It was done in Britain. Place in Bristol.
Full of insults and
they just do. People do it as a novel. They just do it as a sort of. They go on and they'll just pick at random. They pick people
really.
Which is quite frightening. If there was a reason why they did it, I could understand that. But if they do it for no reason, that doesn't really make sense.
Can you believe?
It's like when I used to vandalise Louis Late's house on Jan Smuts Avenue, when I used to spray up his wall. Terrible things. And then after about 3 years, someone said, have you seen Louis Late's house? I said, what? I said, what, that red walled one on Jan Smuts Avenue, number 137? They said, no, he lives much further down.
Oh. He's actually... You've been spraying the wrong people's walls.
I've been spraying the wrong wall. Listen. But I did do the German club. I did the Goethe Institute. Every year they put up a big banner up there that says, learn German now! !! Have you ever seen that?
No.
Every year when they do a recruitment.
Is that a request or is it a command?
Well, I don't know. This huge banner went up, learn German now! !! And I went one night in my skin-tight black lycra bodysuit and balaclava, which I didn't have on. It was in my back pocket.
You must have looked great.
I did. I looked fantastic. I think I did. I wasn't wearing it. I just had it. I had it in my pocket. And I went, and underneath where it said, learn German now, I sprayed, wie have ways und means. And blow me down, 2 days later, underneath, we have ways und means. Somebody wrote, does means beans Heinz? I thought it was wonderful. And
my teamwork.
Teamwork. But yeah. You see, you attract these people. And my, I did compliment them later on. It was that they left it up. They actually left it up. And I still phoned them and complained. I said, I think it's disgusting that you've got, learn German now, and they write their we have ways und means. They said, no, we leave that. People can write anything they want. I was so angry.
Oh.
Yes, no, leave it there. I was so angry they hadn't sort of got upset and pulled it down. And
can you believe Robert Mugabe is still alive?
Yes.
94.
He's actually older. He went to school with Pam Golding.
Oh.
He is, in fact, he's 107. He's 107. And his Jesuit, this is why his Jesuit teacher who taught him, because you know that the Jesuits can do no wrong. The Jesuits are taught that whatever you say or think is, it's the teacher, it's like Jesus' teacher was Jesuits. Yeah, Jesus was taught by Jesuits, who I think worked for Sotheby's. I think they worked for Sotheby's and Eskil Javits Estates. His teacher is still alive.
No.
So if he's 94 and his teacher would be, what, 15, 20 years older?
At least.
Then the teacher must be Buddha. I mean, it's just... He was taught by Jesuits, which is why his way of thinking is the way it is.
He's apparently a very, very serious man, and he's got a lot of academic qualifications.
Impeccable manners. Mm. Absolutely impeccable. impeccable manners. His style of dress is impeccable. Mm. I've had a few encounters with
you have
yes
at dinners well, and things. You've got to tell
and of
us.
Course back in the day when he was always flitting in and out of South Africa.
Yes,
and we loved Robert. We used to go and see Sting concerts
together
in Harare. No, I didn't go with Robert to see that. I went to see Phantom of the Opera with him. Okay. We went to see that. He quite liked that and thought it would be an ideal way of doing transport in Zimbabwe if he could get those gondolas, those underwater gondolas on canals. And funny enough, there is thought that he could be a dyslexic Yorkshireman because Mugabe backwards is E by gum. So there could be a subliminal message in there coming out. Yeah, and, of course, his wife, Grace, is an absolute darling.
Yes. She was born in Benoni.
She was born in Benoni. Yeah. I was going to say, born in Benoni. So isn't that incredible? What can Grace Mugabe and Charlize Theron.
Mm. And Princess Charlene of Monaco.
All from the same house. Because the mother used to take in boarders.
What's in the water?
I don't know.
There's quite something going on there. I mean.
Something quite odd. And I think Nadine Gordimer, or was she Springs? I think she was Springs. Yeah. With Nadine Gordimer, the author, the writer.
Yes, the Nobel Prize laureate. Are you kidding?
Yes, Nobel Prize. My doctor actually introduced me to Nadine Gordimer.
Really?
Not the person, just her books.
Yes.
Because I was taking Schedule 5 sleeping tablets, and they weren't really working, as sleeping tablets don't after a few years.
So reading a bit of Nadine.
And he said, no, I must get you Nadine Gordimer. And I said, is it a Schedule 5 tablet? He said, no, it's this book. And anyone battling with insomnia, with chronic insomnia, who can't say, Nadine Gordimer, you won't get past page 3. In fact, sometimes just reading the titles, I'm gone.
Like a charm.
Oh, goodness. I've never got through it.
Mark, you know, we haven't had a single second to ask you anything important, but you've taught us.
Oh, no, I'm doing Bankrupt at Monte Cassino. Yeah,
that's what I was going to
Sorry.
Get
Bankrupt.
Bankrupt. I mean, if this... I'm
in the studio theatre upstairs at Peter Tureen's.
I'm physically in pain after this hour because it's been so funny. I've laughed my stomach muscles too.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Are we going, is this going out
but
now?
But in a good way. We're out now. It's live right now.
Good grief. So I was going to say, when is it going out?
Bankrupt is on at Monte Cassino.
Peter Tureen's Monte Cassino.
Right.
Soon to be Ablamlum Gupta's Monte Cassino. Because
buying the whole thing.
Okay. Well, they've discovered that the casino is, in fact, on one of the biggest grandpa headache powder deposits. In the world. What you think is a bungee jumping tower nearby, that is in fact a mine shaft. They've actually started mining. It's one of the purest deposits of grandpa headache powder
found. The Guptas are in.
The Guptas are in. Derek Watts was in yesterday. He was doing an article on it for Carte Blanche on Sunday. I didn't know that grandpa headache powder was mined. I thought it was
I thought they made it in a factory.
No, it's mined.
Oh, wow. Look at that. You learn something new.
They use grandpa headache powder and
we've learned so much.
They mine it illegally because you're not allowed to mine headache powders.
You can see Mark
comes under
doing
the
show Bankrupt. It's at Monte Cassino. It's happening. For how long are you still on there?
I'm until June the 11th. Every night at 8. We have matinees on Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 3. There's 2.5 weeks left. It's been on for quite a while. We opened when all those long weekends were on.
Yes.
Do you remember when, I think in March, the long weekend started?
Yeah, and then they carried on.
And then we only
really
came
May.
Back last week.
Correct.
In June. It was
That's
quite,
absolutely true.
Quite bizarre.
Do you know Dave Levinson behind you there?
No.
You don't know him. Do you know Eric Janssen?
No.
No. Flismus?
No. No. Oh. He's not here, is he? Is he here? What are they doing here? Have they got a gig? Have they got a gig they're selling? Seriously.
Mark, you're fantastic. We loved having
Thank you
as
much.
Always.
Thank you. Has this really gone out now?
It's all been live. As we said. Yeah.
Where
as,
is it? It's happened. Not on radio, is it? This is on streaming.
It's on the internet.
You see,
Yeah, you don't. Don't worry.
I couldn't find it.
You were
car.
Here, so you don't have to listen because you were here already.
I was battling to get it in the car, but then I thought that's a bit pointless. I don't even have a radio in the car, so
no.
I don't know.
But on your phone, you have a phone?
Sometimes.
Is it one with a cord?
No. Why?
Well, let me see the phone.
It's
Oh, no.
It's a Nokia.
Oh,
no. What is that?
No. It's thief-proof. It's completely thief-proof.
The oldest phone I've ever seen in my life.
No, it's not. It's completely. It's completely thief-proof. If I left this on a restaurant table in a busy restaurant, if I went back tomorrow, it would still be there. In fact, it might have 12 rand airtime back to handle it. Seriously.
It would be holding the table.
Yes.
That's the oldest phone I've ever seen in my life.
And you should know, Gareth.
It's a long time.
How long's Gareth Cliff Central been going now?
This is 3 years.
Is it three years?
It's unbelievable, huh?
Good grief. Is Casper still here?
He's on this afternoon, yeah. Well, this morning at 11.
Is
until
he?
This afternoon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, no. I've been on him a bit. Well, I've been on the program.
I know. It's been, I'm sorry that
it's. And you're never here. You're always. Where is he? Oh, no. He's in a meeting and we don't want to ask. And they have it in the studio because it's soundproof. They can't hear anyone screaming. Yes.
That's true. Yes.
He must be having his ingrown toenail.
That's always
put back in.
But you know what problem that is.
Well, Casper has battled with it for a long time. And you're looking good, Gareth.
Mark, thank you. It's very nice to have you here. Mark Banks, everybody. What an hour. Oh, my God. I haven't laughed that much.
It was an hour
you were with us. Unreal. It's just.
Thank you very much. CliffCentral.com.